Give me 2 eggs. So tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor? 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own room.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence.
Well, hello, hi, it's that time of the year again where Safe Space Winter Shelter is going to be starting up and Nikki's going to do a video about it. Safe Space Winter Shelter, if you haven't heard of it before, is a low barrier winter sheltering program that provides a warm, safe place for people in our community to sleep that are suffering from homelessness. It's a 12-week long program that runs through the coldest months here in Chico. We serve about 50 guests each night, and it takes about 30 volunteers each night for this to happen. That's about 200 volunteers each week. Ignore my math. 200 volunteers each week for 12 weeks is a lot of people. Safe Space is a completely volunteer-run, donation-based, people-powered radio. Just kidding. Program. So we need a lot of people to make this happen. There's all sorts of things that you can do. Help cook a meal, serve the meal, sit with the people overnight, serve them coffee in the morning. If you can't donate your time, maybe you can donate a gift card to Costco or Safeway or Rite Aid. Our CVS to get medical supplies, toilet paper, coffee cups, snacks for our guests each night. There's a lot to make it happen for the whole 12 weeks. So anything that you can offer is appreciated, and we can do it. We make it happen each year. So there's nothing in my life that I've done that's as meaningful as helping the people that I see in my community each day. I want to share that feeling with people that I know. So if you need help signing up, go to the Facebook Safe Space page and follow the sign-up link or send us a message and we'll figure out where you can fit in. Thank you for watching. Spread the word.
Huge shout out, Nikki Dow and the Safe Space crew. Last year was the first year Nikki Dow did a video that was posted on Facebook, and it just melted my heart, as it did thousands of people that saw the last one, and we're up well over thousands of people now. So thanks so much, Nikki Dow and the rest of the crew for Safe Space, which starts this Sunday, the 10th. And you can find out more about volunteering and more about Chico Housing Action Team and their other programs by going to chicohousingactionteam.org. Flip the order here a little bit this week, you know, and I tell you what I'm going to talk about next week is some of the Facebook groups around town. Specifically, most of the breath will be around Chico Community Watch, who also does work within the community, retrieving shopping carts, working in the waterways and stuff like that. And we're going to have a bridge type conversation, I hope, around the different perspectives around homelessness and the perception of folks that are working this issue of quote-unquote humans in tremendous suffering. Many, many times what goes on that page comes across as not only one-sided, but dehumanizing. Was able to actually kind of get a thread to as I produced the show, kind of a comment from a New Dimension show that had more breath around it than this, but it was a concept of people react based on their beliefs. We're going to delve into that. Bigger news is, I tell people this all the time, you know, if you want to change a structure that exists, building another one is a good way to do it. And I've been meeting with folks, and I think maybe by next week I'll be able to announce some stuff that we're going to do around, you know, creating a space for people that want to get involved with people that are heroically suffering from poverty in a more just and humane way that treats them as humans. Show today, man. Got a good show today. I got John Kelso on. Folks that listened for the Thanksgiving week show, there was a horrific interview I did with Amanda, who lost her mobile home. She just went off the street just a few days into the safety of a mobile home parked on a public road. There was some thoughts that she had that there were things taken from the scene. So anyway, you're going to hear from John Kelso right now here on Peep Bow Radio. All right, Guillermo Mash here for the December 6th The Without a Roof Radio program. And I'm really pleased to be doing a follow-up from something we aired the week of Thanksgiving on a really tragic motorhome fire on MLK Boulevard north of East 20th. And on the show, I said I was going to follow up with the fire department. And I'm doing that right now. I have John Kelso, who's the division chief for Chico Fire and Rescue. And welcome to KZFR, John Kelso.
Thank you for reaching out to us.
I understand you were actually on the scene that night, correct, John Kelso?
I was. I was one of the first units on scene for that night. We dispatched initially 13 firefighters to that scene. As we found out, it was a large vehicle, a motorhome fire. We had some concerns about folks still being inside. So, yeah, I was one of the first ones there.
So what did Chico Fire encounter on the scene of that fire? Maybe a little more details on that.
As we turned on to Martin Luther King Boulevard from 20th, the column of smoke was huge. I knew we had something large on fire. And as I came down the street, I could see that other than the front engine compartment of the motorhome and the frame and the axles, everything else was fully engulfed. And my first fear is that, did everybody get out? And as I pulled up, I was met by a bystander, a really nice lady who had taken the occupant. I believe her name was Amanda.
Amanda, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she had taken her and had her in her car with her dog and was giving her some shelter. And she was able to help us kind of determine if anyone was thought to still be in the motorhome. And on the initial report, there wasn't, but possibly a second dog. And fire crews immediately went to work trying to extinguish the motorhome fire. Tried to get a primary all clear as fast as we could. Knowing that we didn't have any humans in there, we knew that we needed to search for another pet. And so, difficult fire because, like I say, the residential part or the occupancy part of that motorhome was fully engulfed, and other than one wall was mostly burned up.
There was some concerns, you know, of an air conditioning unit that was removed. So why did Chico Fire remove the air conditioning unit from the top of the motorhome? And as I understand it, took it with them.
Yeah, no, that did not happen.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The air conditioning unit, if it was on top of that motorhome, is most likely melted. As we did our investigation of the fire, there didn't appear to be any appliances like that left intact, because the first thing we look at with a motorhome fire is obviously the most common sources of ignition, which would be the engine compartment, the fuel cell, and then any internal appliances. We weren't able to identify any appliances, air conditioners, or stoves because the intense heat had melted most of them down. So yeah, as we looked at the scene, there were no appliances in existence left, and I mean, we have no use for taking anything from a fire scene unless it's part of the investigation. And it was concluded at the scene that the fire originated in the engine compartment, passed through the firewall into the vehicle, and then caught some of the combustibles on fire there. So,
any idea why she might have thought that was the case?
That was a surprise to me.
Okay.
And just to clarify, we dispatched 13 upon arrival once we had the initial knockdown of the fire.
Uh-huh.
I did release 5 firefighters so that we could be available for other calls that were going on simultaneously. So the 8 that remained had done that primary search, finding no other pet, finding no other sources of ignition. Yeah, that was a surprise to me that she was concerned about the air conditioning unit. As I spoke with her, and very understandably, heartbroken for her, that she was concerned about pets, and then also concerned about her husband. And we had a sigh of relief when we realized he had made it out. We could only account for the one dog that she had in the car with her, with the Good Samaritan. And we suppose that the other dog might have gotten out and into the area around MLK Park there. So, yeah, the air conditioner one was a surprise to me.
Was there any dogs found on the fire scene?
Yeah, there was no remains of a dog left in the trailer. Mm-hmm. And that was one thing, is we have a number of our firefighters who are dog cat lovers. And when we heard that there still could be one, it was concerning to us. And they went through what remains of the motorhome there were, and we found no evidence of any, you know, bones or remains or anything of another animal. And that's where, as we were looking, trying to check the area around to see if maybe there was a dog, you know, maybe cowering in the bushes, anything that we could find as far as, you know, a stray dog, anything like that. In fact, a couple of the bystanders that were really helpful, we asked, you know, can you guys please keep your eyes out for another dog? There's a possibility of another dog maybe got out, got scared, and is usually they cower or hide somewhere. So
right.
Fire engines and lights and our noise, they're scary for pets.
And then certainly it would appear that there was eyewitnesses, and it would sound, just to make sure we put a complete wagon around this, that no one has made any complaints saying, hey, how come Chico Fire removes stuff from the fire scene? So this is complete news for you, correct, John?
It is. It is. And typically, and knowing that we were going to need to have either DPW or police make arrangements to get the entire vehicle off the streets, we made the sidewalks as safe as we could. We flagged those off, and we moved some of the debris up onto the sidewalk or closer to the vehicle. And at that point, that's kind of where our jurisdiction ended with the event. But, for us, there's just no good common sense reason to take anything from a fire scene unless it has some direct tie with the fire investigation. And on this one, it was one of those easy investigations that said, hey, this started in the engine compartment and progressed from there into the living space of the motorhome.
What's left of the motorhome? Is there any property that Amanda could retrieve?
What our first thing was, is doing salvage and overall, we always try to look for clothes, try and look for anything that would appear to be sentimental items, those kinds of things. And we couldn't find any good intact clothes that might, you know, we might be able to get cleaned up. Couldn't find anything else. Again, this fire, especially with vehicle fires that are fuel fed and with a lot of the materials that they make motorhomes out of that keep the motorhome light, lightweight, a lot of those have hydrocarbons in it. And we knew coming into the scene with large black smoke that we were dealing with a lot of hydrocarbons, plastics, and fuel. Most everything inside that trailer was wiped out except for some of this metal wall framework of the trailer. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know where either police or DPW had arrangements to move it to, but I could certainly follow up with you and see if we can't help you get tied with that. And I don't know if there's any more benefit for Amanda in that regard. But
well, there might be. Actually, that'd be a nice, it's always nice to kind of get a nice closure, but it would be, if there is anything that we could see, I would expect now that there has been some passage of time, because being involved in a fire, especially if it's your motorhome, must be incredibly dramatic. Years ago, I had a fire outside my home. It was a trash can fire that lit the side of my house on fire. And I just can remember how distressed I was. And I could even see that it probably wasn't going to burn my home down, but it's a very, very emotional thing that happens.
It is one of the most emotional things that rarely happens to people. It's one of those dichotomies that says not many people suffer from the effects of or the devastation of fire, but those that do, even in your case where you had that potential of losing your home, when they do get faced with that, it's life-changing. And you know, I know that Amanda was extremely concerned about her pets. I think that was the number one thing.
Yeah, it was.
Mind that night, and trying to get some accountability there. It was one of our main focuses after we were able to take a sigh of relief that we didn't have any fatalities in the fire. And so it's that human nature that says, hey, when I'm losing everything or when I'm experiencing fire for the first time in my life, your brain goes into a whole nother mode, and it's appropriate, it's emotion, it's that mode. And so you bet, it's a devastating thing.
So I'll just kind of wait to talk to Amanda and give you a little bit of chance to see if there is anything that Amanda could go and look at. I think if she could come and see the motorhome, that might give us some sort of closure on this.
Absolutely, you bet. And I'll make contact with my with my partners over on the police side and see if we can't give you a destination for that motorhome.
Thank you so much, John Kelso, and have a good rest of your day.
You too. Take care.
I want to thank John Kelso for that interview and also for following up with me via email as to the location of the burned out motorhome and, you know, how to get in touch with someone to be able to visit it. But for folks that don't work daily or at least weekly, in my case, with folks that are experiencing homelessness, I've tried several times. I can't find Amanda to physically let her know that the ability to go and look at that mobile home is out there. In summary, this just was just a horrific experience for everyone involved. And, you know, my heart goes out to Amanda and her husband and her pets and everyone else who's out on the streets during the holiday seasons and beyond. Without a roof radio program, and you know, we're made possible. Generous contributions, Gazy Farm supporters, and by Andrew Sprague Construction. Certified impervious concrete for a green future and serving the North State since 1983. Andrew Sprague Construction specializes in structural concrete for commercial and residential construction, as well as hardscape, including stained or stamped concrete. Contact Andrew Sprague Construction by calling 877-7124. All right, next up is one of the questions that was presented to the Slow Theater-produced Chico Speak series on homelessness last week at Cafe Coda. And you're going to hear from Talon White, someone I've broadcast on my social media pages. But Talon kicks off an amazing story of his personal journey. And his basic question is, why am I criminalized? And you will hear from the actual panel they had on site at Cafe Coda, right here on Peep Power Radio.
Hello, my name is Talon White, and I quickly add to your guys' homeless population. I've been in Chico for 2 years, but I've been homeless for a total of 8, and I'm 19 years old. I have been as far as Portland, Maine. I've done a lot of traveling, I've seen a lot. I was homeless with my dad in my younger years. Unfortunately, in the 2 years I've been in Chico, I've been taking part of 6th Street program, and I've tried a couple of your other guys' programs. It's a maze. It's a big one. And it's one that I wasn't ready to even start to try. One thing I noticed in California, as well as any other state, is homeless is criminalized. It's criminalized to such a point where we're not even allowed to sit, much less even sleep. We're not allowed to ask for a dollar. And if we do, and the cop sees us, we are ticketed on the spot. Unfortunately, there are mental problems. I am constantly trying to survive. I'm at a point where my primal instincts have taken over in some aspect. It is hard for me to even comprehend how it is to live in a house because I've been separated from society to such a point where my anxiety is going through the roof just looking at all of you. It's good to see a couple of you as well. My question is, why are we criminalized? It's not our fault we're here. And it's not really my fault that I'm in the shoes that I am. I try hard. I study for my own good. And I try to make my life and people's lives around me better. Every time, and you're right, my bag, I've been stolen from. I have literally went from Bidwell to Salvation Army in my underwear because I got jumped and robbed my first day here. And they told me to go down to the JC because they couldn't give me any clothes. I had to buy them. That's humiliating. That's really humiliating. I'm sorry. I don't know if any of you have ever done that, and I hope it doesn't happen to you. There are veterans here. There are literally, I looked at it. Cops have mapped out where every homeless person in Chico has come from. And surprisingly enough, all over the goddamn country. As well as a couple other places around the globe. This is an attraction for many people. Chico is beautiful. You guys have Bidwell Park, you have beautiful scenery. It's a very creative community. And I hope to become part of it one day. I really do.
So, hey, first of all, thanks for that, man. I went through a similar thing like that. It's not an easy thing to do. Thank you, though, but it needed to be done. The reason why I was criminalized is because somebody has to be liable for this. Like, people pay city taxes, they pay property taxes, they have a city council and a city mayor that are responsible for spending this money. Remember that pays for the services like police and fire. And then so when they have an issue, you're like, hey, get rid of that. What do I pay my property tax for? Get rid of that. And the easiest way to get rid of the thing for a politician, only thing a politician can do is start wars and pass laws. That's the only thing they can do. It's a system that's failed. It's a system that's failed. So like a solution, just keep it simple. But the reason why homelessness has been criminalized is because it's the easiest way out for somebody that's not responsible enough for the position that they're already in. All right? So homelessness in Chico is it affects us all. It's probably one of the, almost every issue you could ever have as a homeowner here can be derived from that. The Chico would be a great place if it wasn't for that homelessness. It'd be great if it wasn't for this, if it wasn't for that. But you have like a city council that is just not neglected the issue to the point of they don't even try to begin to even understand what the problem is, how it got there. They're just like, they're just gonna rubber stamp it. Oh, problem solved. I passed the law. Is that like I remember when they were passing like this they banned like cannabis. You can't at the last city council meeting thing I attended. And I just laughed. I'm like, you can't enforce petty theft. I'm like, come on now, you're just going to pass more laws? We pass a law, we pass a law. that's why it's illegal for us, because it's an easy way out.
Sam, what you said? You hear him? Marshall Rosenberg said the exact same words. If you read Nonviolent Communication, he said, and I quote, "We are dangerous when we are not aware of our responsibility." Why are we criminalizing the homeless? Because we're letting our political leaders take the shortest, most ineffective, most unconstitutional direction. There was a sociologist from Sweden who came to visit his friend in business in LA, and he took him through a tour of Skid Row, and the Swedish sociologists didn't stay much until they finished the tour, and this host from LA said, "Well, what'd you think?" And he said, "I am horrified. We would never allow this to happen in our country. We would overturn the government. You allow your people to live on the street like damaged, abandoned animals."
Thank you for speaking, Talon. That was really really moving. I appreciate it. Criminalizing homelessness is it kind of reminds me of like when I'm a really pissed off parent and like I'm tired and I have no logic to my punishment, but I'm not even problem solving anymore. I'm just like, just go to your room because I said so. You know, it's like there's no logic in it. As an advocate, we see it every day. It's like, okay, now you got 10 tickets and a warrant. All right, so now we've got this many more barriers and this much more gas spent to go to Oroville to try to figure this out. So, yeah, it doesn't help. You know, I would just really, really encourage people to talk to each other about this issue because our city council passed it, and we need to make sure that they're hearing our voices, that this is not a plan that's working, that a public safety approach to people being poor is not the conversations we need to have. We need to be working hard to find a place where somebody can poop. You know? Like, put the energy there, please.
That's a $6 million problem. It seems really surreal to be even talking about these things. We're talking about human beings here. I mean, this is just crazy. why? The reasons why, I understand, overtly at least, we're trying to bring civility to our downtown. Respectable behavior. So we have consequences if you're not respectable. The irony of the end result, though, is that we have the entire social services community in this town all working to support the homeless, work with the homeless, do their best to advocate for the homeless, to coordinate the homeless. We're trying to develop a homeless management information data system where we have the homeless identified and we can prioritize their needs so we can take the highest need users off the streets first, a coordinated entry system. Well, we're trying to do all that as social service providers while the police are doing what they can to chase the homeless away.
we can't find the people we're supposed to serve now. So we have social services doing this, and the municipality doing this, and never the two shall meet. So we have an uncoordinated system today in our fine city here. And unfortunately, Chico has earned a reputation statewide. It's not a great reputation because we have criminalized homelessness. I hear from my peers across the state, oh, you're from Chico. Well, that's what we've earned here. And I would like nothing more than to see us decriminalize this.
So I met Talon when we first talked. He was sharing that the previous winter in Montana, he had built himself a shelter at 16 years old. 16 years old, Talon built himself a shelter in Montana where there is one homeless shelter in the whole state. Is that right?
That I'm aware of, and that's with the Paparello, Missoula.
Yeah, so one shelter in the entire state. So if you're homeless in Montana, you have less options. So at 16 years old, he built himself a shelter in the woods that he lived in successfully. The way he described it was actually pretty cozy and ingenious through a Montana winter at 16 years old. So I'm glad that Talon is a part of our community. You sound like an amazing person. You sound like somebody that we want around, someone that we want developing solutions and working for things that are important to this community, because that's amazing. I couldn't have...
Love you.
Yeah, I was barely getting myself dressed to go through drive-thrus when I was 16. So, yeah, I think that's amazing. Yeah, so why is it criminalized? You know, you guys already answered. It's just it's the culture and it doesn't work. And I think it's probably just a window of time that we're in right now where it's time for other solutions. And as we all keep doing this work and this gathering to bring forth, then I think it'll just change. People are ready for things that work.
All right. Huge shout out for the forum members. Sam Keller from the Houseless Community. Charles with Hume with Simplicity Village. Sienna Suniki, Outreach for North Valley Housing Trust. Ed Mayer, Executive Director of Housing Authority of the County of Butte, and to Lauren Kennedy, the Executive Director of North Valley Housing Trust, for their very heartfelt and very moving and warming responses to Talon White, man. Talon White, we love you. It's about time to go. Checking out. Non-Human Radio folks are in the house. Without a Roof, you like us. We're on every Wednesday, 5 to 5:30. And check us out on our social media page. Just Google Without space A space Roof. We come right to the top. And never forget and never diminish the fact that if you have a roof, be grateful. And go to kcfr.org, hit the tip jar, show your love for Peepow Radio. Enjoy this audio portion of Without a Roof video that was produced December 2013 at the beginnings of Chico Safe Space as it launched at Peace and Justice Center.
Sleep out here tonight, sir.
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
How important was it to get out of the cold last night, man?
Very much so, because my whole body was locked up when I got here, and... Yeah.
Now you're limber and ready to roll.
Yep.
Coming back tonight?
Yes.
Awesome. Anything you guys want to say to Chico about your wonderful experience here?
God bless Chico. Peace and Justice Center. Chico Justice Center rocks.
Yeah.
Wow.
And this is a safe place.
What's the dog's name?
Leonardo.
He's the special dog. How nice was it to get in out of the cold last night, brother?
Oh, it was a great blessing. Yes, it's a gift from God.
Would you like to see something like this open full time?
Yes.
Every night?
If possible.
I do thank God for this wonderful place.
All right, Safe Space 2017, 2018 starts December 10th. Check them out, ChicoHousingActionTeam.org.